Yigdal, like Adon Olam, is a description of to whom it is that we daven. And it's an explanation to us as to why we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a focus. That's part of what we want to do before we even begin brachos, before we recite Psukei Dezimra in praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to know what the basic tenets of faith are, and then we direct our tefillos accordingly. Yigdal is based on the Shlosha Asar Ikrim. The Rambam, in the very, very beginning of his masterwork, the Yad HaChazaka, describes these 13 principles of Jewish faith, the most basic of all of our beliefs upon which all other aspects of Jewish life and faith are built. And the first is, of course, that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he describes them in the Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a power and force beyond time and space. So, therefore, the poem begins, Yigdal Elokim Chai, V'yishtabach, Nimtza ve'ein eis el mitziuso. There is no time frame in which, or context in which, the Ribbono Shel Olam exists. There is no character of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's tied to time and space. Now, before we get into that, let's just understand why he used the expression Yigdal Elokim Chai. We understand that if we look at the Torah and look to Parshas Shlach and see Moshe Rabbeinu arguing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to not vent his wrath on Am Yisrael for having sent the Meraglim, he says, how would it be if you destroy all of the Am Yisrael in the Midbar, everybody in Canaan and back in Egypt and Mitzrayim is going to say that you had not the ability, you had not the koach to bring Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. You could beat up on the Egyptians, one melech and one nation, but the Canaanites, composed of so many different nations and with multiple armies and great strength, they were beyond and they were stronger than you, beyond your ken to bring Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why you just said, okay, let me just kill them here in the Midbar, and that'll be the end of the problem of what to do with the Jews. That'll be the final solution, perpetrated by God, chas v'shalom, because you wouldn't be able, God, you wouldn't be able to beat the Canaanites. How would it look? Va'ata yignal no koach Hashem kasher dibarto. That's the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives in, and he says, you're right, okay, so what we'll do is continue to wander in the desert, this generation will just have to fall away, but their children, okay, they will inherit the land. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes an oath to do that, he says the words Chai. He invokes the fact that he is the living God, meaning that he is able that he is able to do anything. Chai, life, is that midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's dynamic and that's able to, in an unrestricted fashion, act in any way that he chooses. And so, this poem begins with the word Yigdal Elokim Chai, because it's a description of how we want HaKadosh Baruch to be known and glorified, because he is unrestricted in what he is capable of doing, as Moshe Rabbeinu argued. How would it look if you appeared to be less than omnipotent? How would it appear if you were to appear less powerful than the Canaanite armies? So that's why we say we want you to, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have that kind of rachamim and act in a way which shows that you are capable of such greatness and of such forgiveness and of bringing about your will without doing any harm to us and with being tremendously merciful toward us. And still, that will become the reason that people will exalt and people will celebrate in you. It'll be a Kiddush Hashem, as we say, as we ask for Kiddush Hashem in Kaddish. Yisgadal, Yisgadal Shmei Rabba. So Yigdal Elokim Chai V'Yishtabach. We want that Kiddush Hashem to take place. A Kiddush Hashem in which your greatness and exaltedness is known and praised. And now we start to discuss, as we said, the 13 Ikrim of Emunah, as they are described by the Rambam in the very beginning of his masterwork, Hilchus Yisori HaTorah, in the beginning of the Yad HaChazakah. Nimtza ve'eineis el mitziyuso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nimtza, something that exists, but there is no time frame to his, no context to his existence, which of course means that he is incorporeal. Everything that is created subsequently by HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in the context of time. And we know, today, scientifically, we have a deep understanding, or a deeper understanding of this, in that we know that everything that exists is composed of atoms, and that that time actually is relative to the speed at which the components of the atom move. And that everything contains this time-space relationship, as has been explained by the geniuses, such as by Einstein and what's called theories of relativity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond that context of time and exists without anything else existing, always, before anything exists, and only things are dependent upon time-space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond that and is a greater entity than anything material, and therefore he's unlimited by this time-space relationship. Echad, ve'ein yachid ki yichudo. And there is no other entity of that sort. There is no other being, power, or force. And because he is beyond time and space, so therefore he is beyond measure and is singular. Nelam, you cannot find or measure him, you can't take his material measure. Ein Sof la'achduso. He is infinite in his oneness. Now, anything that's measurable is a material thing. No matter how vast it might be, the oceans have only so much water. A mountain is only so high. The largest, greatest mass of a planetary nature out in the cosmos. The biggest star is gas, but only so much. It might be vast. It could be billions of meters, trillions of meters of hot burning gas, but it's only so big. The vastness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond the word vastness. There is no vastness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because vast means large. There's no largeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no size to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This otherness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such that he is nelam, meaning that you cannot perceive his nature. It doesn't just mean hidden. It means that he is beyond the ability to perceive. V'gam ein sof la'achduso. And this unitary nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ein sof. It's limitless. Because it's beyond size. It's beyond time and space. But the most important part of this is yichudo yisparach. That there is nothing at all similar. Obviously he is incorporeal. Ein lo demus haguf, ein lo guf. By the way, the fact that it says ein lo demus haguf ve'ein lo guf, you might have wondered every time you said it, isn't that really the same thing? Mm-hmm. After all, a demus haguf means a shape, a physical shape. Ein lo guf means he's not a physical body. But isn't that really the same thing? So the commentaries say that what it means when it says demus haguf and ein lo guf is that we are also saying that he is completely unlike Malachim. that he is also completely like those who are Eino Guf. So there's one way of reading it, for instance, in which you say, Ein lo, he does not have neither Demus HaGuf, a material constitution, and Ein lo, Eino Guf. Eino Guf means a malach, because a malach is not a guf. And the word Ein lo applies both to Demus HaGuf and Eino Guf. He is not an Eino Guf. He is not a malach. That's how some wish to read it. But all, or almost all Mefarshim say that it's referring to malachim, and it's making it clear to us that malachim, whatever they are forces and powers and messengers and powers that are released and that interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have their work felt by us here on earth, but they in no way represent what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much different from the malachim and the forces that pervade in the world. They are the means through which he interacts with this world. They are ways that we describe his interactions. And they have names. And they have certain missions and they have certain tasks that they accomplish for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, as he wishes things to be done here in this world. But they have really nothing to do with him. They are so different and apart from what Hashem truly is, and we should never confuse the two.
I don't understand that, but we were created as Selam Elokim, right? So if we relate as, like, we don't look like Hashem, you know, but, so wouldn't the Malachim be, if he's nothing like the Malachim, I'm not saying that he is, but we're something like Hashem, because we're Selam Elokim, wouldn't there be some type of a connection that the Malachim have to be in between us and Hashem?
Very good question. And yet, when we say that we are Selam Elokim, we mean that we have free will, that we have choice of action. And Malachim don't. They actually don't. So it's almost as if in response to your question, in a certain sense, no, the Malachim are not, quote, end quote, in between. Because ultimately, they're just bound to be extensions of how Hashem's will is carried out, whereas we have independent will. And yet, what he is saying in the poem is, in no way should we look at Malachim and think of them as some kind of or bearing some kind of likeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you can appreciate now why there were so many who in their commentaries and in their discussions of our davening said, don't daven to Malachim. Don't think that you should look to Malachim and say, okay, you know, I can't reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my prayer, but I'm turning to this Malach or that Malach, and you be the intercessor, and you carry my tefillah, so you carry... No. There are those who therefore railed against, you know, saying Machnisei Rachamim, which is that beautiful prayer at the very end of Slichos that many recite. We do recite it. And then, of course, you know, Abish Brat sings it so beautifully. That song. But there were those who said, no, it shouldn't be recited because you're saying that this Malach should carry up my prayers and that Malach should carry up my prayers and you don't pray to Malach. The Malach doesn't function that way.
I've heard from the Hasidic world, put your problems in a basket and let a Malach, imagine a Malach is taking it up to Shemayim.
I think that's a way of saying that we believe that there's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to respond to us, and if you want, you can envision that will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to respond manifests in this world because he has Malachim, meaning his forces, his powers here in this world. We create Malachim. We create powers and forces that interact and cause things to happen in Shemayim. We know that. We create them. We create Malachim. That is the essence, really, of what it is that Yaakov Avinu did. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. So there's the opinion that he sent real angels, actual angels. Does that mean that he summoned angels and sent them? Or does it mean that what he did, righteously and correctly, caused a force and a power to be created by what he was doing to counter Esav? So we create Malachim. If we want to envision how we can trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then yes, you know, Hashlech El Hashem Yehavcha, put what you need into a basket, throw it down into one bin, so to speak, and throw it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, help me with my pekel. But maybe that's what the picturesque words of Mishlei mean. You know, of Hashlech El Hashem Yehavcha V'hu Yechal Kalecha. Loi Narech Eilov Kedushasai. There is nothing that can be compared to the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when we write the word Kadosh, you'll notice that we write the word Kadosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a Vav, like in Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. If you look at the Chumash there, you'll see that Kedoshim Tiyu, you, Am Yisrael, can and should be Kadosh, is written without a Vav. Ki Kadosh Ani is written with a Vav. Because the point is, you know, I, Kadosh Baruch Hu, am holy, holy meaning completely other and different. But my holiness is very different from your holiness. You're holy as people, which is very special. My otherness and holiness is completely of a different nature. And that's why when a Jew, a great Jew, a man or woman, achieves godliness and becomes somewhat kadosh, the fact that there is kedusha in this person means that the person is otherworldly, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, but nevertheless, loy na'arech elav kedushasai, we are not able to compare. There's no similitude to the nature of his Kedusha. His Kedusha is very, very different and beyond the Kedusha that we otherwise aspire to and can achieve. Kadmon l'chol davar asher nivra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu preceded all that was created. And it's not that there was such a oneness as if you say, well, first there was nothing, then there was Hashem, then there was the world. Rishon ve'ein reishis l'reishiso. There is nothing that precedes him. There is no absence of him, and there is no step before him. Again, because as we've said, there is nothing binding on HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is like what binds us in the relativity in which we exist, which is only in the context of time and space. That doesn't exist for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, now, importantly, the poem says that he is our Adon. And this, of course, again, is the reason why we say this, as we said, Adon Olam Asher Malach, because he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being a Lord, means that he is an Adon to us, to all that exists, and to us very personally. Hino Adon Olam L'chol Notzar. And as we mentioned, the first to proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adon was Avram Avinu. Everyone called him God, Creator, Force, First Cause, but that he is an Adon, that he is a Lord, and that lordship means he is my Lord, that there's a relationship and a responsibility, and I should respond to it with fealty to him. That was Avram Avinu, and Avram was Metaken, instituted the idea of prayer in the morning, so it's appropriate to begin by talking about this Adon. You know, Adon Olam, the Lord of all the world. He's Lord L'chol Notzar, for everything created. Yore Gedulaso Umalchuso means that he is going to show us his greatness and his sovereignty. He's going to act in a way that manifests his Gdula and his Malchus. You know, it's today still that some will say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, yes, created a world. Who knows how long ago? And then left it. Left it. He no longer involves himself in the world. Not at all. Not in nature, not in the affairs of people or of creatures, nothing. It's just left alone. It's just on its own. It's this body earth that's in the cosmos floating around or cycling around as it does the sun, and within our solar system, things are set in motion, you know, billions of years ago and unfolding now as things are. It has nothing to do with him. And he has nothing to do with us. And here we're saying, absolutely not. Yore Gedulaso Umalchuso. He shows and wishes to show his greatness and his sovereignty, he's very much involved. And how is he involved? And in what way is he involved? What is the most direct involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What shows you that he sees the world, kivayachol, he has purpose in this world. He has designs for the world. He wants something a certain way. Now, when you want something to be a certain way, you don't take a seat back and say, well, let's, you know, whatever happens, happens. La'avdil, if you've watched your husbands watch football, I'm just kidding, you may watch football also, on Sunday afternoon, you know, so you'll see, right, there's this guy on the side, and he's got the headphones on, and he's pacing and watching back and forth, back and forth, and if it's NBA basketball, he's this well-dressed gentleman on the sidelines, and he's calling out, and he's yelling out, and he's, you know, and they're focusing on him, the cameras are on him, because he is the coach, or in baseball, the manager. He's taking care of the team. He's very much involved. Now, he may not be on the field. He's not pitching. He's not batting. He's not throwing the ball. He's not receiving. He's not punting. But the point is, everything that's going on is because, by his advice and guidance, the players are supposed to be playing the game. Shefan nevuasai nisano. All of the great imbued inspiration of Nevuah, that bounty, that shefa of Nevuah, such that we can understand what Hashem wants, was given over to Anshei Segulasai, to his chosen people, and not just to Moshe, and not just to the Nevi'im about whom we know, you know, the Shoftim, and about whom we read in the Nevi'im, about whom we read in Tanakh, you know, whether it's Shmuel, or Nosson HaNavi, or the great Nevi'im, Yishayahu, Yecheskel, Yirmiyah, the Chayasar. There were thousands of Nevi'im. Those Nevi'im who are recorded in Tanakh are the Nevi'im whose words and message HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows we need to this day. But there were tens of thousands of Nevi'im, of great men, with prophetic afflatus, spreading the word and influence of Hashem in the world. Tens of thousands. But it was to Anshei Segulasai v'Sifartei. We happen to have mentioned, I think last week, that this Midah of Tiferes, the combination of Anava and Yira, is Tiferes. That this great sense of balance of, in the case of the Avos, Chesed, Gvura, and the right combination to achieve Emes, as in Yaakov Avinu, which is the Midah of Tiferes, is the Midah of Yisrael, of the Jewish nation. That's our glory. And a great, chosen, glorious people were the ones who had really those holy men, those who became and worked on themselves to become vessels to receive Nevuah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared his will and design for the world with those great men in Israel, Tifarto, who are of his glory. So that means that he does have a plan, and he is very much involved. But again, going back to that mashal, if you just look at the game, you don't see the managing power or force. You don't see the coach. You don't see the person all that involved and yelling out his orders and strategies on the sidelines. He's not allowed to be on the field. You know that. That everybody knows. That the coach, the manager, right? Right? He's got to be on the sidelines. But he's very much calling the plays. And there were those great players on the field, thousands of them, Nevi'im, who were given the direction of what it is and how it is that Hashem wants, quote, end quote, the game to be played. And that's why we study the Torah so in depth and with such care and with such an eye to, well, what does Hashem want? And how does He want us to live? And how does He want life to unfold? And what does He deem important for me personally, for my family, for my community, for my nation? What are my priorities? What are his priorities? Now, how did he share this nevuah? Well, first and foremost, by giving us the Torah. And that was through Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah's Moshe, and the agency of Moshe is so important that it's one of the ikrim that the Rambam describes. Ani mamin be'amuna shalema shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom ha'yusa amitis. As we read in the Ani Mamins. We believe in the nevuah of Moshe. So here we say, Lo kam be Yisrael ki Moshe od. None like Moshe ever before or after, who was Navi, who was seer, umabit es temunaso. He was not nofel ul'glue enoyim in the case of Bilam, you know, who has a chalom laila, who cannot stand and see and speak and hear the voice of God. He actually, like Kivayachol, talked with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were times when he said, Imdu ve'eshma'a, stay here, I'll go ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what the response is, what's the halacha, what do we do with the Mekoshesh Eitzim, you know, what do I do when the daughters of Tzlafchad righteously come and say, you know, Lama Nigara, you know, or, you know, and say, why should we not have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and our father had no sons, so it should be ours, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says yes, but he's able to say, oh, you know, hold that thought, I'll be right back, I'm going to go ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's nothing like that. There were many people who tried to prepare themselves to be Nevi'im at various stages and times in our history. During the times of the Nevi'im, when there were Nevi'im, there were Talmidim of the Nevi'im, as we read in Sefer Melachim. There were many students of Nevi'im, and some of them became and did have Nevuah come to them, and some didn't. But Moshe, his Nevi'us was of a different sort altogether. And through Moshe, Tairas Emes Nasan La'am O'Kel. He gave over his Torah, the Tairas Emes. And that word Emes is, by the way, the signature. It's the Chosamo of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you say Tairas Emes, what you mean is that as singularly important and as unitary, as unique as is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so is his Torah. And he's going to make that point in the very next line. That there is only one Torah, that it is complete, that it is perfect, that it can never be changed or exchanged for another. Hence here, in this first line, he describes it immediately as Torah's MS. And he gave it to us through Moshe, Al Yad Nevi'o Ne'eman Beso, his most trusted. And again, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron and to Miriam, how could you have spoken ill of Moshe? B'chol beisi neman. You know, there's nothing about where I am and what I am that I can't trust with. I trust him with fully everything, having him apprised with an understanding and an insight into what my will is more than any other human being. And you spoke ill of Moshe. You don't understand what Moshe is. He says, you have done the wrong thing. But that's where the expression Ne'eman Beso comes from. Now, that's the kind of person who you want to take a Torah from. You want it to be from the one who is Ne'eman Beso. He's the one who speaks authoritatively for and represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully and perfectly. Because if he's not Ne'eman Beso, so you could always say to Moshe, but maybe, you know, there's a, in yeshiva learning we would say, what? Maybe there's a Svara Farkert. Right? Like, which is what Korach tried to say, right? Who says that that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant or wanted? Right? You say that that's what Rashi means. So, but I'll tell you maybe what he means is. Now, that's very nice when you're discussing Gemara and you're discussing Rishonim, but at the level where Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us the basic Torah and teaching us Torah, you have to know that he was Ne'eman Beso. That means you could trust him for a honest and perfect delivery of Hashem's message without any ifs, ands, or buts. And that's a very important part of our faith. That which we got from Moshe Rabbeinu is perfect and is not and never was in need of any tweaking. which is an important idea, by the way, not just for Torah's Moshe, but it's an important idea for Jewish life and for how halacha and how we live Jewish life. It's important to know that, you know, if you follow the halacha and you follow what the Shulchan Aruch says, that's very, very good. And it doesn't need tweaking. And if you want to add something, if you want to make a hidur, that's very nice. But don't make out of it more than it is. And sometimes we use that expression, you know, don't be frummer than the Pope. Because, you know, you do it right, do what it's supposed to be, because that's ne'eman. That's what's true and trustworthy, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah. Adding hidurim, it's very nice, it's a hidur, but don't take it out of context. Don't make the ikur a tuffel and ikur of Kornmel Zatzal. If Kornmel was the Rav here in Shul, before I had the schus to be the Rav here, and he used to say to me all the time that the most important thing you can remember is that there's an ikur and a tuffel, that which is the main body, and then you have something that's just secondary beneath it. Don't ever confuse the two, because if you make that which is less important the ikur, then it's such a distortion. It's not true to the Torah. Lo yachlif hakel v'lo yamir daso. This is very important. Always this important. Especially for the Jewish people who are struggling against others who said, oh yes, there was revelation at Sinai, but you know what? Things have changed. And we say, no. It, like we read in the Animamin, using the same word, chiluf. Shezos ha-Torah lo sehei muchlefes. It doesn't change. It's not going to be exchanged. Which, of course, we fight all the time about this, don't we? Where others will say, well, of course there was. But now, we're the new Israelites, they say. No. Lo yachlif hakel. He's not going to change. Lo yomer, nor will he exchange. Daso, his beliefs, meaning the theology of Torah, is not going to change. It's immutable. La'olamim, forever. L'zulaso, for any other belief system, or any other Torah, any other guide to life. Now, zulaso here refers to the dus, the theology, the Torah. It will not be exchanged with zulaso, with something else. But while it's true that if you look all of these sentences, all of these stanzas conclude with a vav, with a cholam, lezulaso, beso, tmenaso, tifarto, the truth is that in grammar, with dos being nekeva, so it really could or should have said, lo yamir daso, lo olamim, lezulasa. Now, the suggestion by one of the commentaries, Sefer Iyun Tefillah, is that Lezulaso means a person. There will be no other person. It's Lashon Zachar. It's referring to the messenger Moshe. There's no other messenger who's going to bring some other Torah. And you can imagine then who we're talking about. Right? We're talking about an Oso Ish. You're talking about a Muhammad. You're talking about some other prophet. And, oh, he's got the new book. Right? No. There is no new book, new prophecy, new testament. There's nothing new that's coming because the Torah, lo yachlif hakel, he's not changing it. Lo yamir daso, he's not exchanging it. Lo elamim luzalase, through any other person, through any agency. Tzofe v'yodeas esareinu, very personally involved, the Kodesh Baruch Hu sees and knows everything within our own minds and within our lives. Sisarenu, the secrets. Everybody's truth is laid out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything. Everything. Which is obviously an immense, perhaps immeasurable amount of information. Every nuance of our hearts, our thoughts, every intimation, every emotion of each and every human being. Mabit l'sof davar b'kadmaso, and knows before it happens what that intimation, action, thought emotion, what will it result in? When this person does or doesn't act upon what he's thinking, what he's doing, if he carries it forth, what will it mean? What will result? It's all known by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no past, present, future. It's all one truth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, while we, of course, have free will, but the results of what we are going to do and how we will live our lives and what will in some total be our accomplishments, what we will achieve, build, chas v'shalom, take away, destroy, all of that is clear and known before it is unfolding in real time on this earth. It's all mabit l'seif davar. He sees sof davar, the very conclusion and the results of all things, b'kadmaso, even before they unfold. And what does he do with what we have done? And how does he respond to what we have built and have achieved, hopefully? Goymel le'ish chesed kimifalo. Notice how it doesn't just say schar, it says chesed, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to give us anything, to reward us in any way, is a chesed. After all, if he's an adon, and we're an eved does not work in order to receive or be compensated in any way, but yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chasdo wants to give us and will provide for us in this world and in the next world, and that's a chesed. So it's talking about schar v'onish, obviously. As we say in our animamins, similarly, Hu yisbarach shemo, goymel toiv l'shemirei mitzvayisav. And here it's called a chesed. Whereas in the case of a Rasha, it's just tit for tat. Naisein l'Rasha ra ki rish asai. So there's a lot in this sentence. It's saying that when it comes to something good, you're not just going to get because you did the right thing and you accomplished what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to accomplish. Beyond that, you're going to get chesed. It's a chesed that he's going to compensate you, but he's also going to give you more over and above the basic whatever it is that, quote, unquote, you might deserve. There's going to be much more. It's chesed. It's beyond what you could possibly earn and deserve, as obviously Olam Haba is something that is just so fantastic and something so complete and something so eternally fulfilling and wonderful that it's a chesed beyond anything we've earned. But in the case of a Rasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very good. He just says, look, you did, or he did, she did, rishus, kirish asai, not more, not less. And then we deal with the bigger picture for all of us, all of mankind, certainly all of Klal Yisrael, Yishlach, Leketz HaYamin Mishicheinu. At the very end of time, he will send the Anointed One, the Mashiach, the Anointed One who is going to lead Am Yisrael to glory and to fullest redemption, Lifdais, to redeem, Mechakei Ketz, those who've looked forward longingly to that end of time, Yeshu Asai, for Hashem's great salvation. And then, of course, we add in the Animamins that even though we don't see him necessarily coming today, we actually do, and we've got so much of the sense that we're approaching that time, but that wasn't necessarily so 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 100 years ago. It was harder for them. Im kol ze achakelo b'chol yom sheyavo. But notice how important it is to be mechakei ketz. Those who have looked forward, those who have believed, they will be a part of it. Notice how it says, by the way, yamin, instead of yamim. Yamim, it should say, right? With a mem. So there's a hint here to the idea of the side, the aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will in his kindness bring on the Mashiach. There's a reference here to the yamin. It means days, but there's a reference to the right side, to the yamin. Yimin Hashem, Osa Chayil. So that strong side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that aspect of Hashem acting with tremendous kindness and with great strength, that's why it's referred to here, not just as Ketz HaYamim with a Mem, but there's a hint to that using the Nun Sofis, Yishlach LeKetz HaYamin Mishicheinu. Notice how personally the Mashiach is described. Mishicheinu, our Mashiach. Is there a reference there? Is there a little subtle hint, what do you think, maybe, in that poem? Yeah? Mashiachinu, our Mashiach? What do you think? Like it's almost crying out, you know, the real Mashiach. It's not really being as forward or as blatant as that, but it's trying to basically say that our Mashiach, Am Yisrael, has not yet arrived. Whether some other persons or other nations' Mashiach they believe may have come, notwithstanding that belief that they have, our Mashiach is going to come. Liftois to redeem Mechakeketz, those who have looked forward longingly to that glorious end of time for Hashem's salvation. And then, after that, comes a period of time where there will be Trias HaMesim, the ultimate gemul, the ultimate reward, and the ultimate response to what we have achieved in this world comes finally. And that's, of course, the 13th of the Animamins. Shetia Trias HaMesim Be'ez Sheyala Ratzon Be'ez HaBore Yisparach Shemo V'Yis'ala Zichro La'adol Neitzach Tetzachim. And Trias HaMesim will cause that increase and that increment in immeasurably in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says the same thing here, that there would be forever and ever after Trias HaMesim only the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu accomplished. Nothing negative exists at that time, and only the glory of Hashem is called out. Meisim Yichaye Kel Berov Chazdo, in His great kindness, He's going to bring life back to those who have been long gone. Baruch Ade Ad Shame Tehiloso. His name is blessed forever, which is, of course, the very same as we say in the Animamin, V'yis'ala Zichro La'ad L'Netzach Nitzachim. Here it's with Lashon Bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be then blessed, so to speak, meaning the fact that He is source of all good and the very core in which all good can stem from which all good can stem. And the idea of Hashem, Shem Tehiloso, His glorious idea, will be then recognized as embodying everything that is blessed, because He's the source of blessedness. Baruch Adi Hashem Tehiloso. I think it's also important that we say this here at this juncture, because we're about to start the brachos. And it makes sense that you'll conclude this great poem, which you begin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and talking about His Adnus, His Lordship, conclude by saying Baruch Adead, blessed He will be and is forever and ever and ever, because you're about to start the great brachos, series of many, many brachos, the Brichas HaShachar, about which we will talk, Mirtz Hashem, in the future.